Audrey McGibbon is my guest, and I'm talking to Audrey about how do we address workplace dysfunction. And we're sort of talking about during the break about the fish rotting from the head down, which is where you come in as a leadership coach. We don't have a huge amount of time, but I would love for you to tell us how you deal with leaders. What's your attitude towards them?
Thanks, George. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I love fish, okay?
So, yes, delicious.
So I have a lot of sympathy for leaders, and it's easy to do the beat up on them. You know, they have the big money, the big jobs, the, you know, all the trappings, etc. We've talked about it. They are also humans, and they have the same vulnerabilities. They have different stressors, and they have different what are called protective factors. So their psychological well-being and their ability to perform and feel functional is different from those that are in different types of jobs. So I think the first thing the first thing to do is to really acknowledge that their roles are tough.
Yeah.
And they've got tougher. So there's a lot of research to back that going over 50 years. Mm-hmm. Leaders' jobs have got harder. And the expectations have gone up, but their amount of power that they have available to them and their agency, their autonomy, the scope for that has reduced somewhat. So when we say the fish rots from the head, and that is a really popular expression for the impact that leaders have on culture.
Mm.
And when we think about the impact that leaders have on others' well-being and mental health, then there is a known what's called contagion effect or ripple effect, or I often work with people and talk about what's their well-being leadership shadow. And,
okay. You know. So you leave a well-being shadow behind you where you go.
You do. And the question is, how aware of you are you of that shadow? And is it the shadow that you would like to be casting? And how intentional are you about it? And I get the crux of the matter. The reason I got into really focusing on leaders' mental health and well-being is you're under so much accountability to improve workforce and employee well-being. But how on earth can you do that?
If you don't know yourself.
If you don't know yourself, yeah. And you don't know how to optimize yourself and your own behaviors and thoughts and feelings and reactions. And there's so much of it, so much distress is avoidable.
Yeah, with some knowledge, yeah. With some tools. And, you know, I don't know who said it. It's like there's nothing harder to imagine than what people say about you once you leave the room. And I think, you know, the more we get to know ourselves, it gets a bit easier actually to imagine. Or you hope that you think, you know, that what you intend is what comes across. But how do you check on that?
Yeah.
How do you measure that? And do people enter these surveys? We've only got a couple of minutes, so
okay.
I'm worried about that. I want you to be able to say, you know, what strategies could a leader put in place to ensure that the shadow they're leaving is one they want?
Okay. So the first thing that we do is we get the leaders to do a really thorough self-assessment. So I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the tool.
Yes,
so
I've
been doing research for 10 years and we've developed the Global Leadership Wellbeing Survey, and it is a really comprehensive deep dive into all of the factors to do with the individual, the team, the organization, their family, their circumstances, which impact their well-being and the extent to which they can sustain the way that they are currently showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And what we typically find is lots of leaders get a lot of meaning and purpose from their work. They have variable qualities of relationship. Usually there's some quite high levels of outward resilience, but inwards there's a lot of variation in at what cost does the resilience come? You know, so often they're a mess on the insides, even although they're still showing that outward expression of toughness and grit and stamina, which gets all the attention.
Yeah, and it's the thing, it's sadly that what gets rewarded as well. I mean, I sometimes think people who are perfectionist about other people and very hard on other people, I always think, what are you saying to yourself? If that's what's coming out to other people in public, what on earth is your self-talk like?
That's right. And we're often hardest on others, on the things that we most fear in ourselves. So you see that play out. And you can imagine that between one leader and one team member. But then you amplify that. What's the impact across the entire organization of 800 people? You know, if every leader's psychological health and well-being was to be even, I don't know, a quarter of a standard deviation better than it currently is, when you roll that out across the whole organisation, oh my God, what a difference that would make. So we believe, as is true in any line of medicine or any line of organisational improvement, diagnosis must precede intervention. And so can we stop throwing stuff at well-being? Like, oh, let's do a meditation course. Let's do a stress management workshop. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's not do anything until we've understood where the risks are, what the current assets or resources are that people are using and can rely on, and what's draining them, and then get really targeted about how to support that. And whether that's work addiction, burnout, lack of sleep, device technology addictions, there's a whole manner of things.
Yeah.
And some of them we can control quite easily once we know. Some are work, and there's always the knowledge gap, the knowledge doing gap. But some are about having that collective, aggregated picture with the organisation. So it's not just one leader, it's the whole show together.
Yeah, and to act as though you're not interacting as like molecules that are creating a chemical reaction every time you bump into another person. Mm. Oh, this is like fascinating stuff. So, you know, you have to know yourself, then do the diagnostic, and then start thinking about how we can possibly fix it. We have to go to news. Look, thank you so much for joining us. Audrey works with a whole lot of people as a coach and a very senior psychologist. Thank you so much for joining us today. Co-founder of Eek and Sense.
Thanks very much, George. My pleasure.